This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We have a new episode every Thursday. As you may or may not have been able to tell, this is a special episode where we're going to talk about this little show called The X-Files. Most specifically, our love of the show, as well as our take on the just-aired premiere for the 6-episode limited series. Did we miss it? Do we need it back? And most importantly, what do we think of this modern update? Be sure to get the hoe on the go with our Apple or Android apps. Just look for The Hollywood Outsider in your app store of choice. Find us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you use. And please share the show with your friends. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today is my fellow hoe, Justin McCumber.
No, for purposes of this episode, my name is Eagle Harley. Eagle Harley. I don't need my real name getting out there.
Why don't you just go with Agent Mac or something? Something simple.
It's too close. It's too close. They'll still figure that out.
Eagle Marley? What?
Harley. I don't know.
You just like threw a couple of words that you saw on the internet somewhere?
The ultimate way to throw people off. Just random. Always go random.
Must be a writer's trick. Let me just throw a couple names together that make no sense. Wow. So did you ever think we'd get to the point where we'd be talking about a new X-Files series?
No. Honestly, I never thought we would get to see more X-Files on television.
Yeah, I honestly thought the last movie was it. We were done. Short of a reboot in which we would complain and moan about our favorite agents being recast by somebody new. But it didn't happen. We've got our X-Files new TV series. But before we get into that, we're going to actually talk about the original series. So basically, it's a half and half podcast. We're going to talk about this new, the pilot premiere of the new limited series. And you can, if you don't want to hear about the old show, skip ahead 20 minutes, half hour, whatever the number is. Let's talk about the original show. It has returned. We've got this new, is it a revival, reimagining? I mean, reboot? Really, what do you call this?
I'd call it a revival.
Revival? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, to me, they all have different meanings. For a reboot, you're basically starting over from scratch. But with a revival, you're picking up where you left off.
Well, instead of where we left off, let's start at the beginning. Do you remember when you first fell in love with the show, what sparked it, why it really called to you?
Well, it was 94 when it first started. And I was 3 years out of high school. And I had said good day to my brief and quite unspectacular collegiate career. And I think at the time I was working at a credit union, just really not thinking much about my future or doing anything, really just cast about. But I've always been a fan of science fiction. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that this new show was coming out that involved the supernatural as well as, you know, alien and future tech kind of things, plus mixing in the whole, is the government behind all this? What do they know with and these FBI characters? As soon as I heard the premise, I was instantly hooked, and I started watching the show as soon as it started airing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was with it from the beginning. I'm a little older than you, and being 23,
but like a minute. You're like a minute.
Every
older than me.
Minute at our age counts.
My God.
I was just ready for it. It sounded amazing, and for a while, it was.
Well, I was just surprised because I found it when it first aired too. I was very, very. If you ever listened to the original show, you know I was a super young dad, so I was stuck at home. I mean, gracefully at home in the presence of my children, and X-Files was like the new show, and Fox was. Kind of, I wouldn't say they were touting it, because I think it started on Friday, right? It started like on Friday night, which was kind of like, unless it was the 80s and it was Miami Vice time, that's a dead night to air a show. And I'm just like, oh, check it out. And it ended up being really interesting. And they did something that I think hadn't really been done well to that point, which was they had addressed paranormal and supernatural elements and did it also with a skeptic's eye. So they kind of looked at it from both sides, you know, because you've got Fox Mulder, who's 100% invested. He's just like, I believe in everything that's coming my way. Werewolves, I'm in. vampires, I'm in, whatever it is, I'm in, aliens, I'm in. And then you've got a doctor who, even as the series went on, you're kind of like, well, you know, at this point you've been on a spaceship. I mean, you got to believe it by now, right? But you've
seen more aliens than Gene Roddenberry at this point, for Christ's sake.
Right. But, you know, you have that side of it. And I thought that was great. And not only that, but the stories were just so well told for network television. I mean, network TV didn't have serialized storylines. It didn't have characters that evolved and grew over time. I mean, everything was Riptide and, I mean, just basic procedural shows that...
Pink helicopters.
Exactly. Just, I mean, Magnum P.I. and all that stuff. I mean, that's all it was. It was just like cop shows and procedurals. And if you got an FBI show, it's not something that interested genre fans. And I just love that aspect. It really got me interested. And then I fell in love with Gillian Anderson, like from the jump.
Yeah, and we all did.
She gets like more attractive every year, I swear to you. Like she ages better, I think. So what do you think it is about Mulder and Scully that people love? Is it David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson? Is it the whole backstory? What?
You know, the first time that I can really remember having a deal made about two primary characters in a show and their relationship was when my family and I used to watch Moonlighting. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, when I look back, that's one of the real fond memories. Because my family, you know, I had a good childhood and all that, but we didn't watch a lot of TV together. The TV was not a central part of our family or our relations. Mm-hmm. But there was that one show that we could all sit down and watch. And my parents got things out of it that I didn't, of course. But it was just nice seeing my dad laugh and my mom laugh together as we watched David Addison and what was her name?
Boy, Madison? Really loves him. Oh, really? Maddie Hayes, man. You didn't remember?
Maddie Hayes. I knew it was an M, but I couldn't remember her full name. But Dave and Maddie, you know, that was the couple that I, at least for me, really put this notion in my brain that two leads of a show, if they are of opposing genders, now being different, of course, because that's going to be your primary romantic drama. And so when it was David and Fox Mulder and Scully, they seemed way too different for that to be a possibility with those two, which when you look at the trope, that's always kind of the way it is. Two mm-hmm. people who are so unalike find a way to fall in love. But they seem so opposed on so many levels that, you know, as characters, I enjoyed who they were and what they each brought to the show, but I never really saw them as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
I could, of course, understand if David Addison in my head.
Moonlighting, man.
I know. I could understand if Fox wanted to have a relationship with her. Beautiful, smart, charming, all that. But I never really saw that happening. But as you watch the show and, you know, and you see these characters that don't have a romantic relationship, yet every other aspect of their lives is so intertwined. That brings a kind of intimacy that even maybe romance can't touch.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you throw in all of the near deaths, the dangers and the excitements, that always can amp things up as well. And I think it was around season 4 when I really started seeing possibilities of these two being brought together in a way that now made sense, that if they tried to do it too early, it would have felt too rushed. But I think they're just such great characters and such great archetypes that when they're handled by actors as good as Duchovny and Anderson, you're almost helpless to not like them.
Yeah, and when they were first introduced, I think, first 4 or 5 years, it really was platonic. It wasn't, and that's kind of what I liked about it, was we have a couple that don't, they care about each other, but it's very, I thought Brother and Sisterly until, you know, they started doing it.
And then it still could have been. Yeah, what's up, Cersei?
Yeah, yeah, well, they did do Holmes. That's very similar. So the aspect of those characters really appealed to me in that respect, that I can watch a television show and it bucks all trends to that point in television, which were proceduralized storytelling. You know, everything's going to wrap up in one episode. Nothing ever continues. And that the two lead characters, like you said, if they're opposing genders, they have to at some point get it on. And for the longest time, this show didn't adopt those stipulations of storytelling and television. And part of me actually felt a little let down when they finally did. I mean, I bought it because you're so invested in those characters. But when they finally did the deed and you found out that they actually had intercourse because they had a son, it kind of threw me for a loop, because I'm like, I don't know if I like that aspect of it. I really like the platonic relationship that they had. But then once they make that step is made. You know what I mean? And in my mind, you don't go back from that.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't bother me at all. In fact, to me, it almost seemed inevitable that they would and come together in a relationship romantically, mm-hmm. given everything that they had been through together. It made complete sense that they would. But what was smart about the X-Files is that because the show did not revolve around the romantic possibilities of these characters, when they did finally form a relationship, that for me didn't kill the show,
right?
Because the show really wasn't about that. It was about something else. Whereas your standard sitcom nighttime drama, those are generally more about the relationships of these characters. So if your show's tension and drama is based on will they or won't they, as soon as they do or they finalize the don't, well, you're kind of out of story now.
Mm-hmm.
With the X-Files, that wasn't a problem because that wasn't the central focus of the story. And in fact, I liked that added aspect now to their relationship, that it wasn't just built on mutual respect and admiration and friendship, but now there was also a certain giving in of the heart. And I rather liked it, but I can understand why people wouldn't.
And they had their son, which is what, Little Superman, which I thought was a nice twist, and they had to give him up. That was pretty sad. The heart.
I barely remember the son stuff, actually.
It was so
short-lived.
It made
such a little impact on me.
I felt like they just gave that kid up so quick. Like, Little William, here, we're going to drop you off with the Kents or whatever their names are, and we'll see you later because the government's coming for you. Oh, well. Speaking of the secondary characters, we have the cigarette-smoking man, Krychek, the lone gunman, Skinner, their son William. So who stuck with you the most and why?
Without even, no hesitation, the lone gunman. I mean, they were so good, they even got their own show, which sadly never went past a season.
Oh, I like that show so much.
I still have it on DVD. I will never get rid of it.
They had it
not
on DVD?
Not until it's available in a digital format, which it's not.
Is it on DVD? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, it's on DVD. It's not on Blu-ray, but it is on DVD, and I've got it. And I love it. Those three characters were so different, again, but united in one common cause, and that being the government conspiracies and cover-ups and their mission to uncover all this stuff. I mean, you've got the long-haired hippie on one hand, you've got the straight-laced suit guy on the other, and in the middle you got this kind of heavy-set cranky tech guy, and the three of them just make a perfect team. And I love the back and forth that they brought to Mulder and Scully, especially with Scully and I don't remember the heavy older guy, but you know, his forever unrequited love of Scully.
Are you seeing vicariously through this guy?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
I can understand.
It is, by God. It is on DVD. How did I not know that? Frohickey was Tom Braidwood. Langley.
It was Frohickey who was the older guy. He was the one who loved Scully.
And Byers. I always liked Krychek. I don't know why. Because he was always that guy that just, every time he showed up, you knew something bad was about to go down. Like, he was never there for anything good. And I, cigarette smoking man, I know a lot of people loved him because he was so nefarious and he always lurked in the shadows. But I'll be honest, it got a little campy there at times, where he just sat there and all he did was smoke and take forever to say his lines. And it's like, hey, let's get to the conspiracy, man. Let's go. Wrap it up. Then you've got the bombshell that he was like Mulder's dad or whatever that was. And I don't know. That aspect I didn't like. I always liked Krycek. Krycek and Skinner, because Skinner did the one thing that I never saw coming in the show, which was, and I think it's Memento Mori, maybe, if I remember the show name, where Scully's about to die, and Skinner basically sells his soul to the company, to the cabal, to the devil, to save her life. And he ends up paying for it the rest of that season, whatever season that was. And I thought that was really, I mean, that really is, for me, when that moment made his character somebody worth reflecting upon, like keeping around and cementing his place in this universe.
Yeah, Skinner was great. I mean, Mitch Pileggi, who played him, was just such a doorstop of a guy, you know, mm-hmm. kind of this pit bull of a dude in a suit. And I love the, you know, he you could tell he honestly believed in the X-Files and what Mulder was doing. I mean, he would not allow Mulder to give him any crap, and he took no crap. When Mulder even tried it, he was strong in his own character. He was never anyone's lapdog. And I enjoyed him quite a bit. I actually liked Cancer Man, which is what I call Cigarette Smoking Man, because that's the name for him I heard first. And so it always kind of stuck. I always liked him, especially how slow and methodical he was. I think the things you hated are the things that I liked.
I didn't hate him. I just
well, that took away from the character for you. Yeah, it kind of like, slowed down the show.
Yeah, man. I mean, I can see your words coming out in the smoke. That's how slow.
Yeah, I like that, because to me, that is how I would see, that guy who's pulling the strings in the dark. Behind all the names of power sits the real power. And I always liked him. Anytime I felt like he was weakened as a character, I didn't care for it. I liked him being tough mm-hmm. and on top. I never liked the rest of the syndicate sympathetic that he was with. I don't want sympathetic Cancer Man. He needs to be evil incarnate from beginning to end. I don't want him redeemed. I don't want him saved. He needs to be evil. Constantly.
Every time you see him, he's kind of like that guy in the noir movie, like a Bogart movie, just sitting there at the CD Jazz Club in a cloud of smoke, just looking across the dance floor going, he's that guy.
You know, and as soon as, you know, I not to channel Scotty or anything, but whenever I first played Half-Life and you see that guy in the suit kind of walking around on the other sides of windows from where you are, and he's kind of this gray pallor. As soon as I saw him, I thought, that's Cancer Man! But in a game?
I'm sure he's been in a few, or at least there's been homages in a few.
Probably more than a few.
More than a few. All right, well, the X-Files really kicked the television boom into motion with serialized storytelling. I mean, I think a lot of people say or thank or give credit to Lost, and I don't think that's fair, because it was really the X-Files that made that popular, in my opinion. Did you prefer the mythology episodes, or were you more like a Monster of the Week guy?
I'm a mythology guy. I think I've said this many times. When it comes to storytelling, I will always take serialized over standalone episodic TV every day, all day long. And those mythology episodes were my bread and butter episodes. What I found interesting is that anytime I go back through and rewatch the show, it's the Monster of the Week episodes that are almost always on my favorite list.
Yeah. You know what I noticed when I look back on this? Did you realize how actually really sparingly they use mythology in the original series? Like, I guess, you know, a reflection, and I watched every episode. I mean, I watched the show like religiously. It's the only, or not the only, it's the very first box set of a television show I ever bought, because I loved the show. I had to rewatch.
I bought them when they came out on tape.
Yeah, so did I. I had them on videotape. Yeah. And that's when they sold them like in just a couple episodes per.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, it's so annoying. But you did it, because that's otherwise you had 47 tapes. But I didn't realize until I was going back, getting ready for this, how, like, they really spaced them out. Like, there's a mythology episode, three, four, five, six Monster of the Week episodes, then a mythology episode. I mean, they really didn't overwhelm you with it. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but like currently in this day and age, I mean, every episode is mythology heavy and every whatever show does serialized storytelling. So that to me is a really interesting way to do it.
Yeah, you know, I wish they would have focused more on the mythology episodes, but then you run into the problem of, I love cake, but if I eat a whole cake in one sitting, I'm going to barf. Mm-hmm. With a show like The X-Files, I was afraid that I, you know, even though I wanted more of that mythology, I wanted to delve deeper into the aliens and the conspiracies and all that. I was kind of afraid that, well, if they do it too much, then are they going to start playing it too thin? Are they going to just start pulling stuff out of all of their collective butts every week? So I appreciate the balance that they struck between mythology, which they treated like the special spice, and then just kind of your Monsters of the Week, which was more your meat and potatoes.
I like both. When I was going through all the episodes, kind of trying to figure out where are my favorites, what aren't my favorites, which ones don't I like, and it turns out the finale is really the big one I don't like. The Monster of the Week one, Tombs, Home, there's a Ice, Quagmire, there's a bunch of them that I love that are Monster of the Week episodes. And, I mean, are really some of the most referred to aspects of the entire show, like the certain monsters that are in there. And Humbug's another one. I love Humbug. I mean, there's Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose. That's a brilliant hour of television. Jose Chung's From Outer Space. That's a brilliant hour of television. And those are all stuff that really don't have anything to do with the mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, when you go back and you look at it, that's really impressive that they didn't do what so many shows are doing now, which are make everything mythology heavy.
Here's a question, though, for you in return. Because it looks like networks are beginning to understand that you don't have to do 22 or 24 episode seasons for every show you do, that it's okay to do a half season or maybe even a special event like what they're doing next month or later this month with this, mm-hmm. and what they did with 24. Do you think that if the X-Files didn't have to fill 24 episodes every week for 9 years and instead could have maybe done half that, do you think that that would have concentrated the show into better storytelling?
Well, I'll be honest. I don't think the storytelling got weak until like the show went on a little too long. You know, like they should have wrapped it up at season 7, honestly. Those last 2 years, they shouldn't have done it. But I think if they would have held tight with 6 or 7 seasons, it would have wrapped up fine. There's not a lot of dead time in that show for me personally.
Yeah, as I was going through the seasons and looking at all the different episodes in them, it did kind of strike me how many I'm like, I kind of remember that one. I kind of remember that one. Yeah, all right, yeah. For me, they could have used fewer episodes and concentrated on strengthening the story of what remained. But, you know, for a show that did have to do 22, 24 episodes a season, I think it fared better than others did at not having a lot of filler episode.
Yeah, and then they became a juggernaut, and so they were never going to cut that episode order down because, I mean, I'm still shocked the show got as popular as it did. I mean, there was a time where it was a top 10, top 20 show for, and I'm talking, everybody's like, Lost is really popular. Yeah, that's blew Lost out of the water for many, many years. It was just enormous. And then, unfortunately, like networks do, they kind of rode it into the ground.
Well, I don't think you need to keep crapping on Lost. I don't think this show needs to be an episode where...
I'm not crapping on your
try
baby.
Crapping on it.
Calm down.
I do think that, they did a great job. They had great actors, great stories, and I think the culture at the time was right for this show to come along. I mean, I remember reading that at that time when they were doing polls about how much the government is trusted by citizens – it was like an all-time low or something. Nobody trusted the government in the early 90s. It was all about, you know, what are they hiding? What are they doing behind closed doors? Mm-hmm. It was easy to believe that things like an alien crash landing could have been covered up. I mean, conspiracies were a hot item. And so it kind of, if it had tried to come out maybe 5 years before, it probably wouldn't have fared as well as it did. But I think the mid 90s was almost perfect timing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he didn't intend it that way, but I think Chris Carter is very fortunate that he did sell the show when he did.
I agree. I concur. Let's talk about our favorite episodes in the movies. Mine first. Here's some of my favorite episodes, and then you can go. Tombs.
You already gave several, but I did. Continue.
I already said Tombs, Ice, Beyond the Sea. I already mentioned a couple of Quagmire and Humbug and those. But Two Fathers, One Son, where we learn about father's parentage issue with his daddy, his paternal issue with his daddy. Millennium, I really like that because I liked Frank Black. Do you remember that spinoff? Did you ever watch that?
I watched the first season, but it never got the traction inside me that the X-Files did. It felt like it was just not quite baked enough yet.
Yeah, I think it was. I love the show. Or I really liked the show. I shouldn't say I loved it.
It's like it didn't know what it quite wanted to be.
Yeah, it felt like it went way too dark. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I like a dark show, but I think
the guy's name is Frank Black.
It's good.
Gotta be dark.
Good call.
It's in the name.
Good call. It was just, you know, the X-Files had a lot of darkness to it, but they always had Mulder. They always kept it. He had quips. He had jokes. He had, you know, little asides. Sunflower seeds. A lot of porn. Whatever he was into. And, you know, you didn't have that. You didn't have anybody for Frank Black to banter with, you know, because he could have just been the straight guy and he could have had somebody that he had banter with. But really, he didn't have that. And I think that lack of humor really killed it.
Yeah.
Just really killed it.
It's a show that should have worked and could have worked. But I think it was probably, and I'm speaking from no knowledge about any of the behind the scenes workings of that show. It felt to me like it was rushed out the door. That they were trying to capitalize on the X-Files and this show as a way to do it, but they didn't cement enough for me what the show itself was really about. And so after the first season, I gave it up. I later got them all on DVD, but again, by the time I got to the end of the first season, I was just kind of,
Yeah, you can't.
I never finished it.
You can't barrel watch that show. You will hate yourself and want to hang yourself in the shower. What are your favorite episodes?
Well, I love Beyond the Sea, and you know Brad Dourif is in it as this inmate who is getting these visions about Scully and this inmate who had broken out of prison. Brad Dourif is just an amazing actor. I've recently been binge watching Deadwood, just finished season one again last night. And every time he's on the screen, he's just magnetic. I loved him as the Gemini Killer in Exorcist 3. Mm-hmm. He's just a great actor. And so him as this murderer who is just suffering these visions, just a great performance. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't have been happier with how that episode, and it's a great episode all on its own. You already mentioned Clyde Bruckman and Jose Chung's From Outer Space, which are both great episodes. I think I like From Outer Space more because it has much more of a comedic bent to it. But Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose was a really great episode too. But
do you know that was that's the episode where some people took from it that Dana Scully is immortal because he doesn't see her. He says that he doesn't see her die. So there are some, you know, she's like, "Do you see how I die?" And he says, "You don't." And many fans, this is a weird jump that some of them make, took that to mean that she is immortal, that she never dies.
I think with those people, you cut their head off.
So funny.
That's the end for them. In season 3, episode 12, they had War of the Coprophages, which you know, I don't like bugs.
Oh, that's,
I don't have
I
don't have a phobia. It's not that bad, except for spiders. I will murder spiders with fire. But this episode is all about this area where these cockroaches have broken out, and I don't remember if they're like genetically modified or something or what it is, but something is causing these cockroaches to like kill people. And it pulls one of the best little visual jokes that I think I've ever seen on TV, where as you're watching the episode, at one point it looks like a cockroach skitters across your screen.
I remember that, yeah.
Because it runs right over, you know, what looks like your television screen because all the characters and settings are behind it. And I could not help it when I saw that. I just jumped and screamed, which is exactly what they wanted.
Yeah, it worked. Yeah, I remember doing that too.
The other two episodes I would mention, of course, season 4, episode 2, you already alluded to them, Home. With the inbreds. Oh, my God.
It's my favorite episode of all time. It is.
It is. It could, that could have been a movie. That whole episode could have been a movie.
I raved about that episode so much at work, like when it came out. I mean, I loved it. I don't know why. I just loved it. And I got to work one day, and people put a creeper under my desk. It's a true story. Because I wouldn't stop raving about that episode.
Oh, but you know, there are a lot of episodes that really could have been turned into a movie and been compelling doing it. But Home, with just that effed up family and all the stuff they get up to. Is
and they're
just
making
ridiculous.
Out with mom in the trunk.
Oh, God. It's just wrong on so many levels. But the last episode I'll mention, and I loved it, but it's from season 7. Which is late in the show, but it's episode 12. It's called X-Cops. And it's basically an episode of the X-Files, all seen through the camera of a Cops episode, which is brilliant.
It was.
I mean, Cops was, I think at the time, you know, I don't know how long it had been out, but it was a very popular show. I liked it. I think most people did. But what they did with this episode is they started it as though it was just a regular Cops, and you're riding along with a police officer, and then he gets a call to somewhere, and all of a sudden Fox Mulder's popping up and Dana Scully, and it is so funny and so good. I laughed quite a bit through it, and it's one of my favorite episodes. I love that kind of alternative storytelling.
Yeah.
And making it all through the show of Cops, not from the perspective of Fox or Scully.
When I alluded to Quagmire earlier, the main reason I like that one is because the monster eats Scully's dog. And I just thought that was kind of bold for TV. I'm just like, they really just ate the dog. Oh, that's so sad. What about the movies? I was reflecting on the movies, and if I remember, I mean, the first movie came out between, I think it was the fifth and the sixth season, or fourth and the fifth season.
Fifth one and
of the, yeah, okay. And I remember really liking it, but upon going back to it, I don't know if it holds up as well as I saw it in the first one, the first time, because it's just so, especially with this new version, we'll get there now, but if you go back and watch the movie, I mean, Mulder is on the mothership, right? I mean, he is on V. And it's Independence Day, whatever. I mean, he's on a big-ass spaceship. And then you go to this new series, which we'll get there soon. So I think this new pilot kind of might have ruined that movie for me a little bit. If you think about it. It's just like, because the pilot kind of alludes to, it's the aliens aren't technically really here. So I don't know. Does that kind of ruin the movie at all for you? Or am I wrong about that?
I kind of, okay. Re-explain that real quick.
Because at the
end, I feel like I lost something somewhere.
At the end of Fight the Future, whatever they called it, the X-Files, the first movie, he rescues Scully from this big ass, and we're talking a little bit about the premiere.
Oh, that's what you meant by V.
Yeah, he's got the giant ass ship.
And it's huge.
Huge.
Like mile sized.
Yeah, it's not like
ship.
It's not like this one in the premiere where it's this little hovering craft that can, you know, disappear into a different whatever realm. This thing was huge. How do you explain that away?
We'll get to some of that when we get into the new stuff. But That movie I so enjoyed, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was the first time that a television show spun off into a movie, but during the
It
production, I mean,
was.
the show was still ongoing. You know, it hadn't ended and they weren't going to try and tack on new storyline. This was expanding what was there.
It was huge.
I loved it. I loved seeing the X-Files on that huge screen with Fox and Scully and the bees and the running and the everything else. It was really just so well done, and I love it. I don't know what the new season, I don't know what it really means yet.
Okay.
And I'm a, I don't be, damn it. I don't know how to feel about it right now.
You want to get into the oh, and I do want to say I liked I Want to Believe. I like that movie. I don't love it. I do think the Monster of the Week is a little weak, and but I love absolutely love the very ending shot after the credits where the camera floats over and you see them on the water, Mulder and Scully, happy as can be.
Yeah.
I love that.
You know, I was really disappointed when I saw that movie. I expect, you know, I don't want to say I expect Independence Day when I watch an X-Files movie, because it doesn't have to be that. But it wasn't a story that I found all that compelling. I think I've watched it once more since it was in theaters. And it's okay. It's not a badly made film. I just think that it was uninteresting. It didn't really do much for me.
Fine. I liked it. I didn't love it. It was kind of like a weaker episode, but I pretty much liked, except for the series finale, which I didn't like really at all. Blow up the cigarette smoking man or not, I don't really care. It just, I felt like they just, Mulder being gone those last two seasons really hurt that finale.
It hurt it badly.
Yeah, it hurt it really bad. But we're all caught up, I think, so it's time to jump into this new version of Chris Carter's X-Files. Spoils for the premiere episode are officially allowed from here on out. But before we get into it, here is a little clip from the opening.
My name is Fox Mulder. Since my childhood, I've been obsessed by a controversial global phenomenon. Since my sister disappeared when I was 12 years old. And what I believe was an alien abduction. My obsession took me to the FBI, where I investigated paranormal science cases through the auspices of a unit known as the X-Files. Through this unit, I could continue my work on the alien phenomenon and the search for my missing sister. In 1993, the FBI sought to impugn my work, bringing in a scientist and medical doctor to debunk it, which only deepened my obsession for the better part of a decade, during which time that agent, Dana Scully, had her own faith tested. In 2002, in a change of direction and policy, the FBI closed the X-Files and our investigation ceased. But my personal obsession did not.
So mysterious. All right, well, Chris Carter returned for this new six-episode limited series. Chris Carter was the original showrunner and creator of The X-Files, with stars David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson back as Mulder and Scully. We also have Skinner back. We found out, well, we'll get to what happens at the very end here in a second. But as we start the premiere, Mulder is disheveled and apparently depressed. He's also broken up from Scully. They're no longer romantic. Are you happy or pissed about this development, first of all?
I can understand why the writers did it. I mean, it makes for more dramatic television when your leads are former romantically entangled and no longer, maybe one of them perhaps regretting that. And that's something you could certainly play up during these six episodes. Given the differences that brought them together and the experiences that brought them together, it's also believable that those experiences also could pull them apart, especially if one is driven beyond reason and the other can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I was kind of irritated with it, honestly. Just let them be happy. I know it doesn't, and I was one of the people that didn't love it when it started, when they became romantically involved. But once they did, I'm just like, well, now you've created two characters I just want to be happy. I mean, they've gone through hell. Mulder's lost everything that's ever mattered to him. Don't make him lose this too. I understand why he would be depressed, and I also understand why she would leave him if he was so obsessive. But it's still, it kind of, I don't know, it'll bum me out just a little bit. But I know it doesn't make for good TV. So I think you could have written him as happy and still made this work. But if they're still apart by episode 6, I'll be irked.
Well, considering that we don't know what their plans are for the remain for the 6 episodes, there could be a perfectly good reason why they were broken up for as characters before this episode, and then we don't know how they're going to end up, and the people who are writing it could very well be heading in that direction, a reunion of love and mm-hmm. or reignition of affections. So I'm perfectly okay with them being broken up now. And if they join up together again, great. If they don't, well, make sure I get a good reason why not.
Well, throughout the episode, we are treated to flashbacks of Roswell, New Mexico, where one of Mulder's informants we come to learn was part of what goes down. So I guess the question is, you know, what do you think about Carter bringing Roswell into the mix? I mean, do you think this is a good story element? Is it maybe something that we didn't, it's kind of already established, I guess, to a degree, but how do you feel about him bringing Roswell into the mix?
Well, it makes sense. I mean, Roswell and the alien landings and Area 51 and all that stuff have been the backbone of this show pretty much since the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
So it makes sense that they would go back to Roswell and kind of, you know, in that cyclical nature of storytelling, you know, you end where you began and you begin again, which seems like what they're doing. What I don't like is that if they are going to now say that all of the alien stuff that occurred during the show was purely the government or this shadow government syndicate's manipulations, and that there were in fact no aliens in the series run, I am going to be extremely pissed off because I'm going to feel like they took 9 years of story appreciation, almost devotion that we gave to them, and then basically we'll have wadded it up, said psych, and then throw it into the garbage can so that they can start over again. That seems to be where things are headed. And so I am, if that is the case, I will be pissed, but I don't want to jump the gun mm-hmm. on it, you know, and I don't want to, as I do with hopefully everything, I try not to sour myself ahead of time. I want to go in as blank as I can emotionally, or if not blank, at least go in hopeful. And then we'll see where it goes. If it leads somewhere bad, then I'll feel bad. But I don't want to start carrying around anger that I may not need to be carrying at all.
Yeah, see, I was getting... I'm hopeful, like you are. I'm hopeful that it's going to... By the end of episode 6, we're going to get a better resolution than I foresee currently. I don't think it's going to... It's not going to ruin the show for me, because honestly, I'll always have that last shot of the movie and I can always go back to that and be like, all right, here's the end.
Well, but there were so many things they did that in order for this to have been purely a government conspiracy and not, in fact, aliens and landing and being, you know, working against or for various governments. If this was all purely a hoax,
mm-hmm. that would be quite the stretch.
It would stretch credulity to the point that it no longer had any meaning or substance.
Now, they could say that they're working in conjunction with the aliens. Like, they are working with alien technology, and they've come to build a relationship with aliens, which is kind of what they established in the original series. I just don't know why do you feel like Chris Carter felt like he had to go this way and almost wipe the slate clean to start over?
Because I feel like if Chris Carter could do this show today, if he could start today, I think the X-Files could potentially be even better than it was. I mean, still with Duchovny and Anderson, with all that talent. But if he could start today where the rules of storytelling on television have broadened and the things that networks will let creatives do on television has expanded, I think that there's a lot of strong storytelling they could do. But at the time of the X-Files originally releasing, they and I've read interviews where they've explicitly said, we really kind of made it up as we went along.
Yeah, they didn't have like a Bible, as some creators say. Yeah,
and part of me hates that. You know, the outliner part of me, the planner of story part of me, just finds that whole notion abhorrent and ridiculous, that you would just make up the stuff as you go along and not put any kind of plan in place for how these things are going to run. Yet, alternatively, if they made all this stuff up as they went along, it was still exciting television, and it was still invigorating and enjoyable and quite often inspiring television. So it kind of works to their favor, because then it makes them seem like kind of these accidental geniuses.
I've read plenty of times, and I listened to every commentary track on those DVDs. The show had a basic idea where they wanted to go each season, and the mythology especially, they tried to work out some of the aspects ahead of time, and from what the way that it was alluded to in interviews and on those commentaries, I always got the impression that the network always wanted more, and they wanted to wrap the show up, you know, positively. But, you know, David Duchovny wasn't happy. He wanted to go expand his horizons, whatever. He wanted to go be a big movie star, whatever he wanted to do. And so he left the show, and that kind of put some of the story options off the table. And then they had to wrap it all up. But the network also wanted more X-Files. Like, they were going to wrap it up, from the way I understood it, when he was going to leave the show originally, they were going to wrap it up. But they wanted to go another year, then another year after that. And Anderson agreed to stick around. And, you know, I wonder how the show would have been different had that happened that way. But this way, because it didn't happen, so it really doesn't matter. But the way that it's going this way, there were so many alien components to the original series, for you to just dismiss it as a master conspiracy. We were actually fooling you the whole time, driving you down this alley that was going the wrong direction, whatever, you know, which is kind of what they're alluding to. I'm hoping, like you are, that when it all pays off, it will make a lot more sense. Because at the current moment, even though I love this, I want to go on, it sounds like we're poo-pooing it. I love the episode. Absolutely loved it. Because it brought back everything I loved about the X-Files. And, you know, the conspiracy, the exposition. You know, most shows can't do exposition the way that Mulder can. just all the craziness that happens in an episode. I love that stuff. And I do, but I do think that you've got to pay off the 9 years that came before. You can't just level the playing field and start all over. You just can't.
You can't just nuke it from orbit.
No, you can't. You can't.
But conversely, the conspiracy stuff and all the alien stuff in the mythology is so convoluted and unwieldy that I kind of can't blame Chris Carter and company for wanting to hit the reset button.
Yeah, I get that.
And I mean, I've read a lot of X-Files websites, and I've looked at a lot of information, and I don't think that there's anybody out there that really understands the full complexity of the show.
No.
Because there are some things they say over here that directly contradict things that happen over there. There's people popping up in different aspects of it all. I think that by not having a very tight story Bible and plan in place, they unfortunately wrote a story that was so twisted in upon itself that to try to come in and untangle that knot was probably impossible. Mm-hmm. And so it, you know, they were finally just left with, we're going to kind of have to clean the slate and start from a more fresh position. I think they can do that and still make the past seasons not a complete waste of time,
mm-hmm.
to where it's all just BS, BS, BS.
And I'm sure, keep in mind, we've got 5 episodes to go. So there's a lot more at play here. There's a lot more story. And the way I understand it, episode 1 and 6 are the big mythology episodes. The ones in between are going to be more Monster of the Week with little pieces of mythology tossed in. So keep an eye on that, I guess, as we go forward.
Yep.
I do want to mention what the basic story is in case, well, why would you be listening to this if you haven't seen it? But just in case, I'm sure there are people that are jumping ahead of the gun. Joel McHale's Tad O'Malley is a TV journalist, I use that term loosely, who wants Mulder to listen to a young woman named Sveta, who claims to have been abducted countless times and had numerous babies stolen. This pulls Mulder and Scully on the case of exposition as he seeks to find the truth in all this. Through the course of the episode, and after a pretty fantastic revelation that we have been using alien technology for over 70 years, and that not only has the alien conspiracy been a smokescreen, it was all part of a secret cabal's plan to enslave mankind and rule the world, like all secret cabals want to do. So my big question, we kind of talked about a little bit, they've changed completely the foundation and history of the show with this series. I mean, 2012 they even addressed, and they kind of glossed over it, how involved the aliens are, what the abductions are really about. Are you okay with, and we already talked about like redoing the entire thing, but if they can make this work, will this get you excited about like a new series going forward maybe?
Yeah, I mean, if they can make it work, then I'm more than happy to see this as an introduction to the return of the X-Files to network television.
Wow. You're befuddled. You're befuddled, sir.
Well, I have always, ever since becoming a fan of the X-Files, I have always just been frustrated at Chris Carter because I feel like he's a guy who has got great ideas, but I don't think he has the greatest follow through. And I want, pardon the pun, I want to believe. I want to believe that Carter and the rest of them can make something exceptional out of all this. That's what I want. I don't want it to fail. I'm too big of an X-Files fan to want this to fail. But there's two big things standing in the way of their success for me. And one of them is, can they get rid of all the aliens have been on Earth doing all this stuff to Mulder and everybody else? And now we find out that it's really the government. And can they be respectful of all the fans who have watched it for decades? I mean, for nearly a decade when it was on the air. We'll just have to see how they handle those two things. For me, the first one's the biggest. Give me a story that is compelling and that's plausible within the framework of this franchise, this universe. And I'm in. I mean, I'm in. You don't have to work too hard. I'm in. But you have to do something to make the story of the first 9 years make sense and have this continuation do that.
They did a couple things that made me believe that they can. One, they didn't cast aside Dana's abduction and pregnancy and, you know, the stealing. Was it they stole one of her baby or whatever? I don't remember exactly how that worked, but.
Well, they kept stealing like fetuses from her or something.
Something like that, yeah. That's so convoluted, I can't even remember the details anymore. But she was abducted and almost died and everything else. They didn't shy from that, so thankfully that's the case. They also alluded to our destruction, which I kind of like this as. I thought this was a kind of a cool concept. The aliens were coming here because we were destroying ourselves. And I thought that was a really interesting way to do it, because I you know, all this time they've been alluding to aliens are evil and aliens are trying to enslave mankind, and there's only going to be basically a few of the precious are going to be able to be allowed to live. And instead, painting that picture like, we're wrong about that. The aliens actually had been coming to this planet because of we've been destroying ourselves. That's what I got. Did you get that as well?
I kind of got some of that. Years of the black oil and aliens down in caverns and buried spaceships in the Antarctic and all the stuff that they did that involved these aliens coming. I can't.
Now you remember the giant ship, Antarctic. You remember. That's the one.
Yeah, no, I remembered all right. When you were talking about the movie. It's just, I love that, even as convoluted as it was, I kind of love the convolutedness that it was just so.
None of this can make any sense.
In some ways, it's almost so wackadoo that, shoot, they could do almost anything. And all right, that kind of makes sense. But what doesn't make sense is for suddenly all that not to have happened. It's like, how do you undo the things that,
yeah.
I mean, we saw Mulder in an alien ship. And we saw some aliens on it, and it took off.
But Scully was thankfully unconscious. She
oh, yeah, yeah. She missed all of it, as usual, Scully. Always when the aliens land, she's nowhere to be seen.
I think she's like, you know what? I don't want to testify. Oh, I'm unconscious. Carry me out.
I mean, she should be suffering from, like, quarterback levels of brain damage, the number of times she was knocked out. Oh,
that's so funny.
I mean, they should just call her, you know, Scully Concussion.
What'd you think about Zaffetta and her? I actually found her to be a pretty compelling character. I liked Joel McHale. I was surprised that I actually liked Joel McHale. I thought he was going to be a little bit goofier than he ended up being. But I really liked the actress who played Zaffetta. I thought that was a very warm and sweet character.
Yeah, I mean, I like them. I like them both. I like the Joel McHale character a little more because, you know, that's the kind of character it's easy to hate. And he played it really well. He's done enough kind of seriousy stuff that I totally buy him as a dramatic actor as well as a comedic. So it kind of didn't surprise me. He's good.
Yeah, but he was getting all up on my girl, and I'm not very happy about that.
No, well, some, I'm not Joel McHale.
Some bitch. All right, let's see where our characters are now. Mulder, first up, paranoid, still driven to find the truth, is a bit disheveled. He's kind of lost a little bit. I mean, I feel like when we start the episode, by the end, he's back on track. Do you feel like this is the Mulder you've grown to love by the end of the episode?
Oh yeah, by the end of it, it is. But the beginning kind of felt a little bit like a bit of a retread of. I want to believe.
It did. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like, this is the same character text we went through before.
So nothing has changed.
But nobody saw that movie, apparently. It didn't do too well. So Scully, on the other hand, she's really worried about Mulder, but she's back to her life, and she's trying to help kids. She's still working in faith-based medicine, and she still cares about Mulder, still cares about the truth. She ends up coming to believe, and by the end of the episode, she's on board. I guess Gillian Anderson is probably the one actor on the show who I thought was, I don't want to say better, but better than everyone else. You know, I mean, for me, she's always been the actress in this entire series when it was on where she blows everybody away. Duchovny's great, but Duchovny kind of has a shtick. You know what I mean? I mean, that's like his thing. Well, she can play a lot.
And I mean, Gillian Anderson, since the show ended, I mean, she's gone on to have quite a career in England on their television and I believe stage work. So I think she has probably spent her time in better acting company than Duchovny, who basically spent several seasons on Californication banging underage chicks.
Yeah, that's not a bad gig if you can get
it. It's not a bad gig if you can get it, but it's not going to, you know, sharpen the acting chops much. It's not going to keep you on point.
True.
Well, I think she's more on point.
I guess the reason I asked that was, do you think that she was given...
He's so damn charming.
Was she given enough to do, do you think?
Yeah. I think she was great.
Did you like seeing those two back together again?
The only thing, and oh God, please, please, people listening, do not take this as me body shaming someone or anything like that. This is nothing about that. But I feel like she has gotten a little too thin for me.
She did look a little too scrawny.
A little too sharp in the facial features. And it's certainly not enough to make her unattractive or make her look ill or something. But, you know, when you go back and you watch that first season, that plump little redhead is so gone. Now, you know, whether you're talking about her naivete or that, you know, early 20-something glow. But I just wish she looked a little healthier.
Here's what I will say.
I shouldn't even talk about her appearance. Okay. It's ridiculous.
We can't talk about the second and third. I don't even think you screened them. We were given the first three episodes from Fox.
I'm sorry. I was way too hip deep in Netflix's Making a Murderer.
I gotcha. But I was able to watch the first three episodes, and I won't spoil the other two because we're not allowed to. But in the third one, she has a sexy time-ish scene. There's some. Uh-huh. There's a little bit of a sexy scene in there. And trust me, as soon as that happens, you'll feel fine. You'll be right back on board, Team Jillian. You'll be like, you know what? She looks good. She doesn't look
too scrawny. I was never off Team Jillian.
I'm just saying you'll be fine with her all of her skeletal features. You will. Because I was like, can I record these? Oh, wait, I go to jail. Crap.
I guess. And I like her hair a little more strawberry-ish, a little more red. Mm-hmm. It's a little too blondie red for me. I like that first couple of seasons.
Aren't we total men
really
right now?
Striking red.
You sound like total men right now.
I know, and I'm sorry, because it's not about her appearance, because we haven't talked about Mulder's appearance.
I'd bang Mulder, too.
He's a handsome man.
Handsome fella. Everybody keeps talking about his face is melting. He still looks better than everybody I know. I don't know what they're talking about.
My wife would kick me over to go bang him. So he's looking just fine for her.
Some classy fellas. Classy. Yep. All right, Skinner. Yep. He brings Mulder back and Scully back and reopens the X-Files. So at the very end of the episode, the X-Files are back in business. And I guess I should ask you, A, are you glad Skinner's back? I mean, I'm sure we want all of our favorite characters to come back at some point. Although if Krycek comes back, I'm going to be a little, how are you going to pull that
didn't
off?
Didn't he die?
Yeah, he's dead. Oh, he's totally dead. So dead. But in terms of Skinner, I mean, I am personally glad that he's back in the show. He was an integral part of the team for me. And reopening the X-Files is what I really wanted from the I Want to Believe movie, which is, don't just have them walking around solving an X-Files crime. I like them because once they're part of the FBI, that's when they can do so much more. And I really liked that we're finally back. If you're going to call a show The X-Files, I want to be The X-Files.
Right. And don't just, you know, have it be quote-unquote X-Files.
Exactly. Exactly.
I like Skinner, and I'm glad to see him back. My only question is, how long is he going to stay assistant director before he decides, you know what, I'm not moving up this ladder. Maybe I need to look elsewhere.
I don't think he's too.
I mean, he's been
it.
There since, what, 94, 95?
Yeah.
So we're talking
30 or 20 years.
Yeah, about 20 years.
25
Come on,
years.
Dude.
Yeah.
You're obviously not going anywhere.
21 years, 22 years. I'm bad at math. That's just the way it goes. Cigarette smoking man. That's the big bomb. That's the bomb that's dropped at the end.
You mean the bomb that missed him at the finale episode?
How do you feel?
I do have to say, he looks roasted.
Yeah, he looks.
That skin is like Pizza the Hut.
Man. How do you feel about this bombshell? I mean, I know they kind of alluded to him being back in the series, and they do show some burns on his face. So, hey, I guess when an RPG comes at your head, you can dodge it when you're an old man.
I've seen Chuck Norris dodge RPGs.
I've seen Chuck Norris, man. It takes him longer to even get up out of a chair than it does for Chuck Norris to basically wipe out an entire village. So how this guy dodged an RPG, I don't know. Miracle Television, don't have to wonder too hard. I'm just like, he did.
But they also had advanced medical techniques in the show
That's pretty advanced. Can we glue him back together? Find all the pieces, guys.
We will rebuild him better than before.
So you're glad that he's back?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, he is the heart of darkness for this show. And it would almost seem not X-Files if Cancer Man wasn't somewhere skulking around in those shadows.
Do you think Sveta is going to come back, or do you think she was blown up?
I think she was blown up. I think she's done, but...
She got the door open right at the last second. It's TV. You never know.
Yeah.
She could come back.
Yeah, where a car door stops bullets.
All right, well, that was the premiere. Was it everything you wanted? Ultimately, was it everything you wanted? What was missing? What would you have done different?
I would have made it a little longer. You know, maybe an hour and a half or a two-hour, you know, special episode just to add a little more story to the characters and kind of what they're doing and what's going on. But sometimes it's better to go, you know, slim it down, cut the fat, and keep it lean and running well. So all in all, I'm pleased with what that episode showed. I felt like I was right back there in the X-Files universe. The music was there. All the actors were there. It's X-Files again, and hopefully better than ever. We'll just have to cross our fingers and see.
Yeah, I'll be honest. As much as I was looking forward to it, I was really nervous. I mean, I was excited for the series because I love the series. Bring it back in any form, I will watch it. But I'd be lying if I didn't say I was terrified. This is literally one of my top three favorite TV shows of all time.
It's like, don't episode one me, Chris Clark. Yes,
don't do it. Don't do it. So the idea of a bomb, it just wasn't appealing. But by the end of this episode, by the end of the premiere episode, I was so on board. It even felt like old X-Files, because it's like you had at least 25 minutes of nothing but exposition, and I still enjoyed it. And that, to me, is a good X-Files episode.
Boulder can talk.
Yeah, he can talk. And I'm telling you, nobody does exposition like David Duchovny, because his voice and his octave never changes no matter what's going on in his life, so everything's exposition. I mean, even, hey, how you doing? Want to get a coffee? It's kind of exposition because he's so dry. So
it sounds just the same as when he says, hey, look, a gun.
Exactly. By the way, it sounds like the world apparently was been using this 70-year-old alien technology and ruining the planet and conspiracy to enslave everybody and take over the world. I'm going to go get a coffee, and this is Fox Mulder, and this is how I talk all the time. That's David Duchovny, and I love it. So I'm very happy with it. My concerns are basically the same ones Justin has. I just worry about how it's going to be resolved. I just don't want to be in the same boat as I was with the original series finale. God, I really don't. I know there's people that love that finale. Are you in that camp?
No.
Okay.
I am not.
Just checking.
Have you heard that the lone gunmen show up in this?
That's a rumor. Haven't had it confirmed. And I can tell you that I have screened the first three episodes, and I won't spoil that, but I will say that they are not in those. So
okay, because they died too.
Yeah, I don't remember how, but didn't they blow up too?
Well, I forget how they died. I just remember that in the finale, didn't they show up as like ghosts or
yes,
something?
Yes, yeah, something like that. Yeah, and Krycek too. He popped up, I think, if I remember right.
Oh, you know, as much as it wouldn't make sense for him to be back, Krycek was such a delicious villain.
He was good.
I you know, even when I see him in anything else, I'm like, you're a bad guy. you are not here for our people. You are here to F things up.
Okay, so the first and last episode are going to be mythology heavy, the way we've heard it, and the ones in between are kind of monsters of the week. So I'm good with that. I know you prefer a little bit more mythology heavy, right?
Well, considering all the stuff they're going to have to do to make this new thing kind of work out with the old thing, two episodes seems to really be pushing it.
Yeah, I would say. Okay, so what people can expect, the first three episodes, and I can't jump ahead on this podcast, we can only spoil the pilot one. I can say that the second episode, which airs on the 25th, is kind of a standalone. There's a nice little touch to address a very important story element from the series, though, so that's good. And then the third episode was written by Darren Morgan.
And he wrote some of the best episodes of the show.
It is absolutely bonkers.
Clyde Bruckman, Jose Chung, those were all ones he wrote.
It is bonkers, and I absolutely loved it. It's completely just like everything else he's written. I mean, he hasn't missed a step. It's a nice little study in how pathetic humans are. You'll love it, Justin. You'll love it. So that's what's coming up. I don't know what else to say. Is there anything else you want to say on this new iteration of X-Files? Is there enough here to make you want to go back and continue watching if they were to come back again?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, unfortunately, I am such a fan that it is hard for me to find a non-biased way of looking at it. Even if it came back and wasn't everything I wanted it to be, I would still lap it up. They're going to have to seriously drop some balls for me to not enjoy this show.
Same here. I mean, as soon as the music started and... Man, I just got so excited. I loved every second of it. And even though I've got some concerns about how they're dealing with the mythology, especially 9 whole years of story, I still loved it. And it's still the only paranormal crime fighters I want to watch on TV.
Did you ever buy the Songs in the Key of X?
Yeah, I sure did.
CD when that came out. Yeah, that was another thing this show... I think did that no other show had done was, you know, because it was its main, you know, snow music was so good, but they also had a lot of music as a part of the show, like from popular bands. Mm-hmm. I remember that one episode that had Hey Man, Nice Shot.
Sure did.
I think that was a Giovanni Ribisi episode.
Oh, and Red Right Hand, the show that got used in the Scream series that started in the X-Files. Yeah,
Jack Black, I think, was also in that episode. But I remember when that CD came out, and it's like a TV show kind of spawned this, mm-hmm. and it did, because that's just the kind of show it was.
It was just really
cool.
It
had fans across the gamut of humanity.
Yeah, just a cool and quirky show, man. Just cool and quirky. Okay, guys, one last thing before we get out of here. We are considering doing a podcast for the remaining episodes, so week to week. So that would be 5 more episodes, basically, and doing a recap of the entire series when it's all done. If you are interested in that, if you want us to do that, we're kind of going to gauge this on social reaction. So if you are interested in that, share the show with your friends. Share it on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever you use. And use the hashtag TheHoFiles. TheHoFiles. That's right. TheHoFiles. T-H-E-H-O files. And if we're going to take a look at that, if there's enough response or enough interest, we will come back and do one of these for each of the remaining episodes. If there's not, we'll probably just skip it, honestly. But hopefully there will be enough interest for it, and looking forward to it. So we'll see what you guys think. And remember, hashtag the whole files. If you're interested in us doing another one of these podcasts for each episode of the X-Files Limited series. Otherwise, we'll just probably come back at the end and wrap it all up. But it's up to you, the listeners, to decide.
Yep.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. We have a Hollywood Outsider Facebook group for movie and TV fans, not just for fans of the show. It's for anybody who likes to talk about TV and movies. Feel free to hop on over there. It's The Hollywood Outsider. It's on Facebook. Review us on iTunes. We'll read your review on the show. Our website is thehollywoodoutsider.com. New episode every Thursday. Please subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your podcast app of choice. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Thanks to Justin, Agent Mac, Cumber, for being here.
No, I told you, it's Eagle Harley.
Eagle Harley.
I am Agent Eagle Harley.
All right, well, thanks, Agent Eagle Harley, for being here. Thanks. So weird.
You're welcome.
You're so weird.
I do not want black helicopters circling over my house.
No, nobody does. It's dangerous. You don't
it's not
that.
A good sign.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode, guys. I hope you guys really enjoyed it, talking about the X-Files for as long as we did. And remember, the next time you venture outside, turn on your TV, go to a theater, whatever you're doing, truth is still out there. Somebody had to say it, right?